This is a ISOC chapter panel. I invite Mariam Kweme, who is well known. I will not present her anymore. Please, Mariam.
Hi, yeah, my name is Mariam. Thanks, Didier. I don't want to talk much, really, because I really would like to have to make this hour give the chapters an opportunity to talk. Actually, we did this last time for the first time in Mozambique, and I thought it worked really well. I basically created a good discussion among the chapters, among different groups in Africa, and to exchange some ideas and report some of the activities. So I will just give a very brief introduction about what ISOC is and what we're doing for those of you who don't know what ISOC is doing. And then I've asked some of the ISOC chapter representatives to give a short update of their activities, what they're currently doing. And then I hope at the end that we'll have some time maybe for others, if you get inspired to get up and say something about some interesting activities in your country, or maybe you're involved in the ISOC chapter in your country. Unfortunately, we only have an hour this time, so there won't be much time. So just briefly, the Internet Society has been founded in 1991, and we're an international not-for-profit membership organization. We have individual members, we have organizational members, and we also have chapters. Currently, we have around 70 chapters and another 10 or so in formation. And we're doing various activities in the areas of standards, education, and policy. Just to give you a quick overview of our individual membership, everyone can become a member. Just go to the website www.isoc.org, and it's for free. You can become a member, or you can also contribute something, but you can also become a member for free. So it's fairly international distribution. Our mission, just to give you an overview, it's to ensure the open development, evolution, and use of the Internet for the benefit of all people throughout the world. So ISOC has traditionally also done a lot in the developing world and supported initiatives in regions like in Africa, Asia, Latin America. For instance, in the area of education, the main purpose, I mean, you might have heard of the INET conferences in the past, in the 90s and early 2000s, where it's basically a way to transfer technical knowledge into areas where there is not so much expertise yet in the technical area, like these AFNOC conferences, like the workshops. So we've always supported local and regional initiatives like AFNOC, like AFRINIC, or SANOC and PACNOC in other regions. Also in the area of policy, it's a lot about education, educating policymakers, educating government representatives, regulators, explaining them how the Internet works, who's doing what, and that it's well organized, how organizations work together, like here, AFNOC, AFRINIC, FTLD, AAU, different organizations working together. And in that, we're mostly defending that bottom-up Internet model, that what we call the Internet model, the bottom-up industry self-regulatory model. We've also been involved quite actively in the whole World Summit of Information Society and what's now came out of this, the whole Internet Governance discussion, Internet Governance Forum, that's actually unfortunately going on in Geneva this week. So much for being, trying to include developing countries in the Internet Governance Forum. And our third area of activities is standards building or standards development. So we've been the umbrella, the legal entity for the IETF, for the Internet Engineering Task Force, for many years. Just recently, actually, this has been formalized. So ISOC and IETF have very strong ties, and that's also where we get a lot of our technical expertise from the IETF. But one of our biggest assets to make us also a global and international organization are actually the chapters in the countries. So I said we have around 80 chapters, worldwide. Some are more active than others. Chapters are run by volunteers, so it's always, you know, there are peaks of activities and then there are some quiet periods as well. It always depends on active individuals in the countries. So I can only encourage you to go look if there's a chapter in your region. Go to the ISOC website. There are some links to the current chapters, or maybe you speak to people here about their experience with chapters. And chapters are really, chapters and ISOC, the ISOC headquarters, if you will, it's really a two-way communication, a two-way relationship. You depend on the chapters to, you know, tell us what's going on in the different countries or in the region or sub-regions, so we can go and use that information. You know, go to policy, go to speak to policymakers, speak to organizations in Geneva, for instance, that's where we're located. And so we depend on you to tell us what your concerns are, what's going on in your countries. And on the other hand, we also expect from the chapters to go out and use your networks in your countries to communicate the ISOC mission and the ISOC statements and what we stand for, basically, in your countries. So really it's a two-way relationship there. That was just a short summary of what ISOC's all about. And so I've asked a number of individuals now to come actually up front. I know if Pierre D'Angenou is in the room. I think he's in the room. Yeah. No, come sit here. Come sit here. You want to sit here front now? Because I want you to say something. So I've asked Pierre and then Alex and Alan and to talk about their chapters. There's also chapter information in Kenya right now. So also have Alex, I don't know if you want to come sit up front too. I don't need to sit here. Okay. And maybe after that, if you have time, I hope maybe others also want to get up and say something about their chapter activities. So we have some open session at the end. I don't know if you have any questions at this point in time about what I said or no. Okay, well then I hand over to you in whatever order you want to do it. We can start with Pierre, who's first on the list here, so why not?
Sorry, good morning. Oh, sorry, afternoon. Just arrived and then I'm a bit, I want to go to bed, that's all I want to. Sorry for that. But I heard you guys have very nice time here, so I'm so happy for that one. Well, I think you don't want me to just say a few things about ISOC chapter in Benin. Quite funny, I'm not living in Benin, but I'm going to talk about Benin a little bit because I'm based in Senegal, actually. But then I used to be the chair of this ISOC chapter, which we started in 2001 when I was in Benin. Benin, for some of you who do not know, is quite a tiny place, you know, near Togo and Nigeria. 6 million in terms of population. Internet connectivity is poor. But then the thing now with Benin is that through a kind of democratic process, you know, now we do have a new kind of head of state who is talking internet. He really wants to move, and right away this is the challenge for this ISOC chapter right there. We had a situation now in Benin where there was a regulator, but the way the regulator was, kind of set up was a kind of tricky one, in the sense that the law that was supposed, that was passed through, you know, the parliament, was supposed to be enacted at some point, got biased by the minister, the former minister. Now we do have a new minister who really want to do things, you know, the right way, and his problem now is how to take the whole job again, and then he is looking for people that are conversant in how you do establish a good kind of regulator, which they would like to be kind of autonomous regulator. And ISOC chapter actually has been called upon as one of those that could provide some ideas, which basically means that one of the challenges there is in fact capacity development. This has always been the issue, at least for the last 4 years. We did conduct a few networks, you know, and especially working with the university. And then this chapter, for kind of 2 years, you know, went down. And I have to say this is basically the situation in most places in Africa, you see. You know, they just go down because most of them also are linked to individuals. And when the individuals are not available, then it doesn't work. But the thing is that apart from training, of course, they did conduct some awareness. They were instrumental for organizing if some of the training for the parliamentarians, you know, they were involved in those things. Of course, they also do conduct those, you know, internet festival of those things that they do it. I believe that today they did have some sort of, the opportunity is there. Meaning the government, the policy makers are ready. They know that they do exist. They would like them to contribute in whatever way. The other issue is about the connectivity issue in this country. They do have this sub-tree, which you know lands there in Cotonou, but which is not really being used appropriately. And this is an issue as well because the cost is quite high, and most people are just relying on the VSAT again. So how do you organize those things so that by 2007, when the monopoly stops, you know, something that could happen and lower down, you know, the costs. This is also one of the challenges, and then I'm not so sure whether the ISOC, you know, members will be up to this challenge. But I'm just throwing this as some of the issues that we've been developing. And they also publish a sort of newsletter where they try to actually inform on some of the activities, some of the things that are ongoing there. I think nothing much, and from time to time participating to international, you know, workshops. And that's what I can say. And normally the secretary, I think Yaobi, was supposed to be around and to talk, but apparently he's not there. So that's why I have to come in. And thanks for your attention.
Thank you very much, Pierre. Maybe Alex Corentin, if you want to continue.
I maybe just ask two people to switch with the headset because I mainly speak in French. It's only to have diversity and to act as a diversity. Merci, Myriam. Merci à tous de cette opportunité que vous nous donnez d'être... de vous parler des chapitres, du chapitre sénégalais. Le chapitre ISOC Sénégal a été créé en 99, donc par un groupe de personnes qui pensaient qu'il y avait des choses à faire dans le cadre de l'accès à Internet au Sénégal. Et nous avons travaillé beaucoup à la promotion de l'Internet à travers surtout la fête de l'Internet que nous avons organisée pendant plusieurs années. Ce chapitre a travaillé énormément dans la formation. Nous avons abrité beaucoup d'ateliers francophones d'INET, qui étaient les ateliers INET francophones qu'avait lancé Georges Sadowski. Et que nous avons pris les ateliers régionaux, nous les avons accueillis. Nous avons beaucoup... essayer de travailler dans la formation sous-régionale, surtout des gestionnaires de réseau. Et nous avons travaillé en local, surtout à la promotion des technologies et surtout à la promotion des logiciels libres. Donc ça a été les activités les plus prenantes au cours des premières années de la formation du chapitre. Et comme l'a dit Pierre tout à l'heure, effectivement, au fil des ans, il y a eu une désaffection. Comme vous le savez, le Sénégal est un pays qui est relativement bien pourvu en termes d'infrastructures. L'Internet est bien présent sur le territoire. Nous avons aujourd'hui une connectivité pratiquement totale sur tout le territoire. L'ADSL est présent. et coûte à peu près, pour donner une idée peut-être, par mois, 30 euros. Et actuellement, les prix ont baissé de 50% depuis quelques jours, puisque la promotion actuellement fait que l'Internet est présent à peu près à l'ordre de 15 euros par mois. Donc, il y a actuellement une très très forte présence de l'Internet au Sénégal. Il y a un fort développement des cybercafés et des cybertélécentres. Et c'est quelque chose d'assez connu pour le Sénégal, mais qui fait qu'aujourd'hui, nous avons un taux de pénétration. Je crois que c'est Alan qui me posait la question, combien de personnes connaissent Internet aujourd'hui? Nous pensons que dans les villes comme Dakar, qui regroupe à peu près le tiers de la population sénégalaise, nous sommes 12 millions au Sénégal, mais il doit y avoir à peu près 4 millions de personnes rien qu'à Dakar, la capitale. Donc c'est qu'après tout le monde, au moins, a la possibilité d'accéder à Internet via un cybercafé, puisque le coût de l'heure à Internet au Sénégal actuellement, c'est à peu près un $0.50, 50 cents américains pour l'heure. Et il y a des cybercafés pratiquement dans tous les quartiers. Donc la promotion de l'Internet n'est plus maintenant la promotion des utilisateurs, du moins dans la connaissance d'Internet. Nous avons basculé dans la promotion des usages et surtout essayer d'augmenter la présence des contenus africains dans Internet. C'est pour ça que nous avons changé de stratégie et aujourd'hui nous nous bagarrons pour la localisation des logiciels libres pour que nous puissions mettre à la disposition des utilisateurs, surtout des mondes ruraux, des outils adaptés à leur éducation, parce que nous nous disons toujours les gens ne sont pas illettrés. Ils sont illettrés en français, mais ils ne sont pas illettrés dans leur langue nationale. Donc nous essayons de promouvoir de nouveaux modes de communication en utilisant ça. Et notre combat aujourd'hui, c'est d'être dans le monde rural. À ce titre, aujourd'hui, Isoc Sénégal travaille dans deux expériences de mise en place de connectivité dans les zones rurales. L'une avec ADEN, qui est un projet français. C'est l'appui au désenclavement numérique. Et nous sommes en train de mettre 3 points d'accès dans des zones où il n'y a pas de connectivité en utilisant la technologie WiMAX dont on a parlé tout à l'heure. Et nous sommes en train de travailler sur une problématique parce qu'aujourd'hui le WiMAX est dans les 3,5 gigas, qui est une fréquence non libre et qui est réservée à l'État sénégalais et non pas à l'accès au monde rural. Donc nous travaillons aussi sur les politiques d'accès pour essayer de voir comment nous allons travailler. Aujourd'hui, notre challenge, c'est plutôt d'augmenter, de faire adhérer les jeunes dans le chapitre. Et là, je réitère l'appel qu'a donné tout à l'heure Myriam. Il y a vraiment, au niveau du membership system, une possibilité d'avoir de plus en plus de membres actifs dans les chapitres. Et je crois que plus on sera nombreux, plus on constituera une masse critique qui peut travailler au niveau des politiques et surtout à l'accès global. Pour terminer, peut-être juste une chose, le Sénégal, comme vous le savez, est le leader, du moins est responsable du volet NTIC au niveau du NEPAD. Et nous avons essayé aussi de travailler au niveau national. Et je peux vous dire que depuis la semaine dernière, nous avons pu obtenir de l'État la mise en place d'un forum sur l'Internet national qui est calqué sur le forum de la gouvernance de l'Internet qui est mis au point au niveau des Nations Unies, qui regroupe au niveau national la société civile, les privés et le gouvernement dans un forum qui va faire l'objet d'un décret et qui va permettre de travailler avec l'État sur les politiques des nouvelles technologies au niveau du Sénégal. Donc on fait beaucoup de politique, on fait beaucoup de lobbying. Je crois que c'est une des activités majeures des chapitres. Et je crois que c'est en ça qu'il faut surtout s'appuyer. Parce que je suis peut-être le président du chapitre, mais au niveau du chapitre, vous avez aussi Mohamed Diop, qui est le secrétaire général, et qui est aussi membre directeur de ICANN, membre du board des directeurs de ICANN. Et nous avons d'autres membres qui sont directeur des nouvelles technologies au Sénégal. Donc on a, grâce à ce lobbying, je pense, on peut travailler et faire avancer les choses. Et dernière chose, ISOC Sénégal est un support très fort pour les organisations internationales, parce que ISOC s'appuie sur nous pour faire des activités au niveau national. La francophonie s'appuie sur ISOC pour faire des activités au niveau national. Et les États maintenant, tels que la France et le Canada, nous ont demandé leur appui pour mettre en place des projets d'accès aux nouvelles technologies. Je ne veux pas être très long. S'il y a d'autres questions, peut-être que je pourrais donner d'autres informations. Merci, Myriam.
Thanks very much. My name is Alan Levine. I'm the chairman of ISOC ZA, or the South African chapter of the Internet Society. I see that there are three L's, as in AL, Alan, Alex, and Alex. So if you get confused, I'm Big L. As my colleagues on Afrinic know me, there are a few Alans there as well. Or you can call me Alan. Yeah, we follow the global ISOC model. There are four areas of activity, or known as the four pillars of ISOC. On the standards development side, we see that very much as international activity, and we'd love to participate, but I must admit that our members struggle to get involved in international standards. And it's a challenge that I hope to be able to address once we have a regional ISOC office, and hopefully it's something that we'll be able to get more involved in. So that really leaves us with the other three pillars. Not that we don't recognize ISOC's involvement in international standards development, we very much want to participate, but we just find ourselves really struggling in that area. So the other three pillars being policy, outreach, or often referred to as education at the global level, and membership. And I'll go through them in that area. Obviously, being a local chapter, we focus on localized or national policy issues. It's probably our area of most of our activities. A lot of new legislation's been passed in South Africa over the past 6 or 7 years, which affects internet access, internet connectivity, and so forth. I've got a list of things that we've been discussing over the last few months, and this is just over the last few months. And maybe I should precede that by the fact that the South African telecommunications market is showing signs of letting up to competition. In the last 6 months, there has been the introduction of the second network operator, and we're seeing a direct incentive or a direct instruction from the president, Thabo Mbeki, to the Department of Communications that the cost of telecommunications in South Africa is too high. It needs to be addressed. That was in this year's State of the Nation. And ISOC has been given a lot of credit, I must say, subsequent to that, for our actions and our activities in driving, or certainly participating in the public process in driving towards opening up of our telecoms environment and access to the internet. Nonetheless, we still have a very, very expensive, high cost of internet in South Africa. So some of the areas, there's a new Electronic Communications Act, which we participated in through over the past 2 years. There are new cryptography regulations and registrations of cryptography providers. There are ADSL regulations. Just next week we're presenting our oral submission on these ADSL regulations. There's a privacy bill. There's a credit bill. There's been a great deal of discussion as well, I think that's very interesting, on our policy list about EASY, the East African Submarine Cable and Coalition, and particularly around the principles of open access. Our telco, Telkom SA, got wind of the plans and everything and intervened and kind of chucked out. They threw out everybody that didn't have a legal license to participate in those discussions. And they said, since we're the only ones, other than one or two potential operators, that can participate in this, no one else should be participating in this. So it has raised a big controversy amongst our policy participants. Let me move on to the next area, being membership and community. We actively drive our membership. We've recently gone over the 400 mark. We have over 400 members now in South Africa. We struggle very much with a membership system. I must admit there are far too many manual interactions, and it's very tricky to maintain our membership database. It's very human intensive. There's a global database that we need to maintain. There's our own kind of spreadsheet, and there's all our different mailing lists, and I must admit it's one of our struggles. We do, however, concentrate on having as many local activities as possible, looking at the social side as well. We've recently, this year, we launched our first newsletter, and we're intending on having 3 newsletters per year for our chapter members. And we also participate actively in the one internet conference. It's an open internet conference that's held in South Africa. It's organized by the Internet Service Providers Association. But we actively participate. We have a partnership with the Internet Service Providers Association, and we actively participate. We draw on our global network, which I think is the biggest asset that we have as ISOC. And we draw on our global network to attract and to identify top international speakers. This year we're going to have in excess of 8 international speakers at our iWeek conference, which is very exciting. And then lastly, as outreach, activities of outreach, we've recognized, and this is quite a surprising statistic. I was just chatting to Alex, as he mentioned. In Senegal, the estimates of about 75% of the population has no idea what the internet is. In South Africa, it's actually more. Over 80% of our population has no idea of what the internet is. And it struck me when we first recognized or identified the Internet Fiesta model in Senegal. I started chatting to other chapter heads around the world, and the Internet Fiesta concept no longer worked in areas like Eastern Europe. And the reason was because everyone knew what the internet was. Unfortunately, it's just too expensive in South Africa for poor people to even be exposed to it. So we see it as a very important area of outreach activity. We've had a horrible reaction to our pilot Fiesta in that the local community thought that we were showing them a Rolls Royce, this internet thing. How can you show us this? We can't afford it. We'll never be able to afford it. Why are you coming and telling us about it? And it's very sad, but it hasn't stopped us in our tracks. We know that we have to go out and tell more people, because we want more people to complain about the fact that this internet is a Rolls-Royce thing, and it's actually about access to information, which is written into our constitution. Access to information is every single citizen's rights in South Africa. So we're in the final stages of preparing a proposal, and we hope to be holding a 50 Fiesta project over the next 3 years. We intend in focusing on rural areas where the need is most, where the awareness is lowest, and we're focusing on creating internet awareness of what is the internet and what it can be used for. It's a very exciting project. If any of you are interested in getting more information from me or helping to find funders, please be in touch with me on that. Lastly, I just want to also say that we are a member of the ICANN Regional at Large organization, and we've recently registered and done all the formalities. We are now linked into the Department of Social Services, who looks after all civil society organizations, and we're trying to increase our standings as a civil society organization in South Africa. Thank you very much for your time and attention.
Thank you very much. My name is Alex Gakuru. Alan, there are some nice things you have mentioned, and just to show how we resolve issues from one country and address them in another, is that let me start with one of the last problems he said about the perception of internet fiesta in South Africa, and I picked that lesson, and I thought instead of taking it to the people and then they complain later, I maybe start a center where I can tell people at least there's one place where you can always find internet, that Rolls Royce, if you can make it and we shed you. So under a project which is funded by ISOC, I'll talk on 2 aspects here. There's a project I'm implementing. I've also been leading the formation. We have a cyber cafe just nearby, We are equipping it more, and we want to make it available to the ones who never otherwise have any dreams of getting internet. So this is one of the ways we are learning from one country and getting the solution from another. There are quite a number of lessons. I need not mention what others have said because it will be quite lengthy and the shortness of time doesn't allow me. But there is a beauty about ISOC chapters, what we do, in that our approach to issues being technical oriented, but we are tired of being cooped up in air-conditioned server rooms, we feel we need space to go out and participate in development. A big number of Kenyans do not have that space. They are denied because of various reasons, like politics, like other trends in Senegal. They share their experience in Benin. There are many reasons that they don't get an opportunity. ISOC's umbrella framework, first of all, wins an immediate trust of the government because of its credibility and qualification. We harnessed that by making sure our formative meetings were held at the regulator's office, and that created quite some good buy-ins from the government and the Minister of Information and Communication. Our offices were opened by the minister, so we created that buy-in. On the industry side, the providers led by TESPOC are actually founder members, so we have them. We have some civil society organizations, and we are quite happy with the reception. But we realize that, like they say in the Linux journal, in Saving the Net, you just don't fight with deeds. You have to fight with words, not just good deeds. We realize we have to be a bit wiser, and we realize that we have to engage the media in developing internet, because media has a very powerful impact. And I'm pleased to say that out of a problem that I used to complain so much about in Kenya, that technology is not covered very well by the media, at the launch of our project, we offered a free media resource center about internet, anything people would want to know from the media so that they can report us better. One of the media houses responded very well and took me on the challenge. And I'm pleased to say that the science editor of the Nation Media Group is here with us. I just wanted to say hello and sit down. Mr. Gatonye, maybe you can stand there and see you. Yes. He's taken a keen interest because he says he's now more interested more than ever. And I think not all the stories get published. I'm sorry, I had offered to do publicity for this, but media houses also have their role to play. So I would urge also, we were discussing from Benin with Jean Robert, and we are saying that the ISP licenses in that country is about $4,500 per year. And last Monday, through this project that we have here, I'm pleased to announce to this meeting that we made the government waive license fees for Kenya's rural ISPs. So that's a big plus. It's an achievement. We are quite happy. We are also recognized for participating, and we have been asked to be partners in the upcoming Multimedia Technology Park, our chapter. We have been assured of funding, but the people who want to fund us say they would want to deal with us after we have fully completed our registration process. We know that is in sight. The last correspondent says that the consultation is going on. We trust that is coming, and that will open a lot of doors and gates, and we'll get there. With respect to participation in government and being a trusted source, we realize that the government has a problem sometimes knowing who to trust, and especially where you are not coming in with anything else other than the four pillars of ISOC. So ISOC becomes an automatic buy for government, and where government comes in and trusts that source, it's very important because it has a big reach. The other thing is that the ISOC vision, the internet is for everyone, has been taken sometimes in a nice way, that it's like activism. You know, these guys are saying everybody must have internet. And that propelled the release of the national ICT policy in the first cabinet sitting of this year. So we are pleased that that also contributed to that. And there's vibrancy which has been reinvigorated in that sector. We will continue to work together with every stakeholder, with every player in the industry, in ensuring the internet reaches everyone. We are particularly delighted with this event being hosted in Kenya at this critical time when we are infants and learning from people who have had a lot of experience learning chapters. We are busy taking notes. We'll consult you further like we have been. The one thing I want to say this event has done is that we also realized for rural ISPs to flourish as per the new draft bill is that we require a lot more ISPs in this country. Initially, they were to join this program as the government had requested, but considering the logistics and what had been planned, it was not possible. So trying on a few universities, over 14 applied for this training. So we had the course started at our project office, and we moved on. And yet again, I'm pleased to announce that the government took over. It announced on Monday that it has taken over Kenya Telecom's Kenya College of Communication at Bagadhi, and it's been taken over by CCK, and it will be a permanent ISP. And ISOC has been requested to partner with government in the training of these ISPs to create capacity. I said I'll come and announce at the meeting, and I'm quite delighted. I think my 10 minutes might be over. Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much for listening to me.
Thank you for all the contributions, and it's really interesting, I think, to see the chapters in various stages also formations. There are some chapters really here that have very long years of experience, like South Africa, like Guinea, like Senegal, and then there are others like Kenya that just started and have just that's still in formation, as you saw on the slide. So there's a process actually you have to go through. You have to have a number of members. You have to have some formal structure and voting, and so not that everyone. So that we can be sure the community in the country actually agrees that, you know, this is the chapter and they want to work with that chapter. So there is not quite yet the Kenya chapter, but we're working on that, and I hope we're going to establish that very soon. And there are other chapters, I think, in Africa. There are other people here involved in chapters that have various standings and various status in the country. And I encourage you all to talk to each other and exchange ideas. And of course, the situation is different in each country, but maybe you can learn from each other. And also, come talk to me if you have any issue with your chapter, or if you want to set one up, or if you don't know if there is one. Come to me, and we can talk about it, and then find out more about it. I think we might have a couple of minutes for comments and questions, if there are any. No. Well, then we're almost back on track. Well, thanks to the speakers again. It's really informative, really interesting.
Thank you, Miriam. Thank you, Isaac. I'm pleased to introduce Randy Bush, who will tell us about heroines and heroes of the revolution. He's well known, so I don't think that we need to introduce him again. He's one of the internet pioneers.
It's Windows. Hi, I'm Randy, no relation Bush. Let's see here. Okay. This stuff is obvious. I want to tell you about, many of the people who started many of the networks and who did the initial work we don't see anymore, and many of them are not known, and so I thought it would be good to tell a little bit of the story and honor them. The first one I would mention is Alvise Nobile from the ICTP in Trieste, which is a UN university for physicists, And he did the first workshops, the first networking workshops, starting in 1988. Okay? And what happened is physicists, ICTP brings physicists from the developing world for a sabbatical year two to do high energy physics in Trieste at a very nice institute. And he said, when you go home, I can no longer communicate with you. Bring your network people and we will teach them how to connect. And so he ran workshops. I taught in some of them. And he did the first workshops ever that I know of. Okay? I'd also, even though it's not internet, have to mention the old GreenNet, PeaceNet folk, because they were some of the first connections in Africa and gave everybody a feeling for networking and provided for universities, scientists, to communicate with people all over the world. I can't find pictures for a number of these people, but this is Karen Banks, Mike Jensen, who's still doing a lot of work on African networking, especially studies with IDRC, et cetera. Scott Weikert and Steve Fram, I can't find pictures of them. Part of the problem is that in these days, we didn't have digital cameras. So it's hard to get a record. If any of you remember these folk and happen to have pictures, I'd love them. Okay, and you don't have to take notes. This is on the web, by the way. Pascal Renault, UUCP-based, not internet, French, so it's heavily in West Africa, but many NGO networks in West Africa, but also much tech transfer, teaching people about the network, teaching people about LANs, but his connectivity was almost always UUCP, okay? But did a lot of work in this area. The first ping to Africa, Tunisia, Sana Belimin, also with Kamel. Sana taught in many workshops. I think she's back in Tunis now after working in the States for a while. And, you know, university networks, commercial networks, etc. But the first ping to Africa was from Tunis. South Africa was second. What happened is this gentleman, that's the best shot I have of him, Pat Terry, is a computer scientist. He comes from compilers, which I also come from. And he visited me in 88 and said, you all are communicating between meetings. How are you doing it? And I said, there's this thing called the network, an email. And so he took it home with him. And so Rhodes University with Pat and the lead engineer would be Jaco, who also taught in many workshops, brought the net to South Africa, FidoNet in 88, UUCP 88, 89, to actual internet and pingability in 90. Jaco also helped in Zim and a number of other countries, Maputo, and taught in many workshops. UUNET ZA was formed, was the academic and research network at this time. And so this networking was actually paid for and backed by Vic Shaw, who empowered the universities, empowered engineers, got funding, and negotiated, even though this was during the apartheid years, negotiated anti-apartheid agreements with those people who got networking, and so that it was okay for them to be on net. The guy who essentially acted as CTO in those days, even though he was at Rhodes University, and also wrote some code, was Mike Laurie. Vic Shaw, the previous person, by the way, is sadly dead, probably 3 years ago or something. Mike Laurie pushed the engineers. I'm trying to be kind. He was the most abusive manager I have ever known. Alan Barrett, who was part of that, can tell you. but he negotiated with NSF and other folks and got a lot done and did a lot for getting networking going in his country. Nashwa Abdelbaki, no picture. Egyptian University, she was a student in one of the early workshops. She took the Egyptian University network and built it single-handedly. I mean, did not have an assistant. And she's in her 20s at this time. Okay, 13 universities running, let me see if I can remember, IP, X25, DECnet, what's that Novell IIPX? What was the fifth?
BitNet.
13 universities running them. Also ran the Egyptian, started the Egyptian CCTLD and has taught in many workshops. She just finished a couple months ago her PhD at University of Ulm in Germany and probably will become active in networking again. We all hope. Sadly, no pictures of Nashua. Also no picture of Christoph Brunn, who brought many folk into his network in Dakar to from Francophone Africa. And they came as interns, worked in his network so that they could bring back to their country. So he helped teach many people. He really did. He was very good in Dakar. Okay. Eric Stavant, similarly in Bamako, and he also taught in many workshops, but Eric's most known among us, the workshop people, for being the first one to break the silence about regulatory and telco issues. And Mali, which was not good. Okay, and actually managed to find one picture of them. The first commercial network was TICS in South Africa, Chris Pinkham in Cape Town, Paul Nash, he's now in Toronto. Alan's back there, he was also the third partner. First commercial ISP in Africa, to my knowledge, certainly the first in South Africa in Cape Town in early 92. Okay. Steve Song is IDRC in Canada, and he has been helping fund and encourage networking, research and education, et cetera, et cetera. He was, you know, working here in 1990, very much bottom up, very much facilitating networking, one of those donor agencies which is not what we call a flag planter, right? Cares more about getting the job done than having his organization's name in big lights. Pierre Wadrago, Francophonie.org. Actually, he shouldn't be on this slide because Pierre's actually here. I've saved the slide towards the end for the people who are actually here. So, but anyway, Francophonie.org. The wonderful thing was 5 years ago when Afrinic, et cetera, was having a very struggling time, Pierre led the alliance of the Francophones and the Anglophones to defend against the power plays from the north and from funny people in South Africa. So it was really great to see Francophones and Anglophones forming an alliance, and we see that here today. He funded many Francophone attendees at workshops, et cetera, translators, and again, building the alliances. Steve Goldstein of the National Science Foundation started in the late 70s, getting networking to the developing countries. In my opinion, he's the person who has done most for especially developing country networking in the world, almost 11 years ago, and to many other places. And he's somebody who nobody almost ever sees or has ever seen. Quietly operates from the background, achieved an enormous amount. Also, most known for his connections to, you know, developing countries in Asia and Eastern Europe, et cetera. There were some anti-heroes I must mention. You know me. The monopoly PTTs are worth mentioning because there are some people who have done studies on the internet and its proliferation with real studies and real metrics, and you can directly show the relationship between the spread of the network and the costs of network access and regulatory policies and the power of monopoly PTTs. I'm not talking about politics. I'm talking about measurable social and financial metrics. Okay, this they of course been greatly aided by the colonial bandwidth providers, which force wonderful gnats on you, and also come through the monopoly PTTs and entrench them further. And then there are the clueless flag planting donors who were more interested in having their name in lights than in real networking. Notable among that is from my country, USAID and the wonderful Leland Project, which destroyed more networks in Africa than it created. Okay? And then, it's horrifying. And then there are the flag-planting wannabe techies who think we know better and have our ways of doing things that don't always map and delay things or want power, such as South African delaying formation of AFRINIC by 5 years so they could get some sort of power. Wonderful. Okay. I've forgotten Pokeville. Surely I have. I am now over 60, and it's not that I thought their contribution was small. It's that my memory is getting smaller. My apologies. I really was very hesitant in making this because I know I have forgotten very important people that I really wish to have included. I mentioned some that are silly enough to still be here. They learn very slowly. They've made serious contributions, though, worth mentioning. Machuki, of course, who's our local host, who helped form networking in Kenya, et cetera, et cetera. Adiel, first connections into Togo in 97? And AFRINIC and helping his friends and neighbors, et cetera. Alana Aina, who has helped teach, has helped spread the network, et cetera, in Francophonic Africa. Alan Barrett, who still keeps coming back. God knows why, Alan. Alan had the patience to stick with the formation of AFRINIC for almost a decade, Alan? How long did it take?
8 years.
8 years. And a patient sort and a quiet sort. That was a long sentence from Alan. Lucy Lynch and Steve Huter, of course, in the NSRC gang, who've just provided a lot that you've all seen. Nee Quainer, the father of so much, and moving. Nee has a leadership style. Nee leads from behind, not by pushing, but encouraging others forward. And I think I'm trying to learn from his example. And he's done so much here. And, of course, Sunday, who, I mean, where else would we get good jokes? Good try. Good try. No?
No, Randy, you see, there are some material defects in your presentation.
No.
There are some heavy material defects. And I just want to ensure that you understand that there are defects.
I'm not true.
You have your slides. You are not true?
Good try. You get two for the price of one. Hello.
Hello. Randy. Randy.
Yes?
You forgot one that's here in the room.
Yeah. Who?
He's
Dutch. Gert-Jan de Groot. Yeah.
I'm not from Africa. Last time I checked, the Netherlands was not in Africa.
Windows, I love Windows. So now to upstage Sunday is I'm a little about, you know, we all have heard this saying, give a man a fish, you have fed him for today, teach a man to fish, and you fed him for a lifetime. Trite saying, how can the poorer economies get technology income? Nee taught me this phrase, sweat packets. Overseas customer service representatives and service industries, right? Marketing, spam delivery, right? There's a good virtual sweatshops of players on multiplayer online games. Do you know there are people in China sitting in buildings full of them playing multiplayer online games to get virtual money which can be traded for real money? You know, this is crazy, but, you know, phishing, we know about 419 scams. This is succeeding admirably. The costs are distributed throughout the rich economies, so the rich are paying for it. Governments are not involved, no regulation. Anyone can play. It's a great internet success story, right? Thanks for all the fish.
Randy, the old can learn from the young. And there are a couple of things the old can learn from the young. And I want to run one or two interviews with you for the records and to make sure that we have the right account. Randy.
Uh-oh, a test.
Aha! Aha! What don't you understand, Randy? Selective amnesia is the hallmark of the modest few who do have plenty of clues. Do you have any clue?
Much less every day.
You seem to forget so many names in your presentation, and I thought I would remind you of one or two of them.
That would be appreciated.
Okay. First, I want to give you a primer on net seismic activities. A measure or lack of interest in an ordinary discussion based on the frugal use of words. The fewer words, the better. For example, one word could be clueless. Or if you were going to use two words, you would say something like, buzz off.
Something like it.
And if you would use three words in an email, probably, read my lips.
Sort of.
You have an idea of what I'm talking about. But believe me, we Africans do appreciate the one we call a ghost from the West, an old us of the internet revolution, one that is very, very frugal with words. When he's really upset, it becomes half a word. And the one we all know is no relation to the other Bush. You still got clues?
Pardon?
Do you still have any clue of what I'm talking about? Still talking of the convener of AFNOG? That organization since 2000 that's been dealing fatal blow against techno-colonization by enabling a cream of competent IP engineers all over Africa. Ladies and gentlemen.
That's enabling is much easier than doing the work.
A round of applause to Randy Bush. Randy, on behalf of the entire African networking community. Hey, folks, this is photo ops. Where are they? On behalf of the entire African community, I want to say thank you very much. We do appreciate you. I see you about to shed tears. Anyone's got a napkin? Thank you, Randy.
Thank you. Enabling and teaching is easy. You're the people who do and did and do the actual work. That's the hard part.
Break for coffee, 1 minute, I'll be back.